It's right here, man. It's chill right here. Thank you, thank you. I walked on the stage just now, in case you're wondering.
Yeah, thank you.
Shout out to everyone, first off, that helped me out. One plus you guys. Thank you, guys. Thank you, I'm just going to say a quick prayer before we get started. You know, Lord, just thank you for this night, this opportunity to gather your name. Yeah. And I just pray that as you come now, Holy Spirit, that you would speak the words you wish to speak. Yeah. Not my own words, but your words, God. And then you just bless the people that are here today, and that you just come and get your perfect will done. I pray and ask this all in your name, Jesus. That we leave this place encouraged and uplifted in you. And I just pray and ask it in your name, God. Amen. Well, I don't know about you guys, but I believe we should be passionate and excited about the things of God. Amen?
Amen.
Yeah. Like Peter and how God called him to be a fisher of men, God wants to use us in the same manner. In Matthew 9:35-38, it tells us, "Then Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them, because they were weary and scattered, like sheep having no shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, 'The harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest.'" And so there are many lost sheep, lost people out in the world who don't know the way. God is calling us to go forth into the harvest to show people the way to the shepherd. It tells us in Mark 16:15, "And he said to them, 'Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature.'" Now, I'm not saying you need to book a flight straight to Africa and do some missionary work, or that you need to talk to every single person you bump into on the street about Jesus. Don't get me wrong. Some people are called to that. They have a gift to do those things. It's great. It's appreciated. It's needed. However, what I am saying is that God is calling us to share the gospel with all those that you encounter. Whether it be family, whether it be coworkers, friends, your significant other, or even that stranger you saw sitting in the mall by themselves. Like an actor or actress, we need to be prepared, we need to practice, we need to show passion, we need to convey to the audience what it is that we're trying to say. So this may seem scary and overwhelming to some, but you can trust that Jesus has your back and that you're not doing it alone. Like in Mark 16:15, God doesn't put all the pressure on one person, but he calls us to work together as a body, as a team. So with it officially being summer, the time where most people are happy and easygoing, we have to ask ourselves, you know, how can we share the gospel with others in an impactful way? I think the best example we can look to for this is Jesus himself and the life he lived here on earth. And so as we do this, let's look through some steps that we can take to help better ourselves for this great calling that's been put on our lives. Step number one, prepare yourself. Looking at the life of Jesus, he didn't receive his ministry on earth right away. Sure, he had opportunities to teach in the temple when he was 12, but he was also led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil, and he fasted 40 days before starting his ministry. Now, I'm sure 12-year-old Jesus still would have nailed it with the ministry. However, you know, the reality is it wasn't his time. He still had to grow in God's training ground before he could take the ministry on. Also, the people wouldn't have received it well had he been given it to him at age 12. As Pastor Terry says, sometimes the blessings are so big that he has to prepare you for them first. It tells us in 2 Timothy 4:2 to preach the word and be ready in season and out of season. So how can we do this? We need to first look at ourselves and see where we're at. Are you living a life that is pleasing to God? Are you putting him first in everything that you do? Read the Bible, get to know your Maker and his character, pray, go to church, have fellowship with believers, worship him, and put on the armor of God. By doing this, you will not only be talking the talk, but you'll also walk the walk, being the example to those around you. It says in Acts 1:4-8, "And being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, 'You have heard from me, for John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? And he said to them, it is not for you to know times or seasons, which the Father has put in his own authority. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, and to all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And in Ezekiel 36:26-27, it tells us, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will keep my judgments and do them. Like a kettle in hot water, we not only need to know who Jesus is, but we also need to be filled with him before we can pour him out to others. So pray and ask God to come and fill you with himself. Come to church, read the word, worship him. Number two, submit to God's leading. It says in John 12:49-50, for I have not spoken on my own authority, but the Father who sent me gave me a command, what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that his command is everlasting life. Therefore, whatever I speak, just as the Father has told me, so I speak. And in Isaiah 48:17, which I'm going to read from the NLT, this is what the Lord says, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. I am the Lord your God, who teaches you what is good for you and leads you along the paths you should follow. If Jesus, who is fully God and fully man, had to submit to whatever his heavenly Father wanted him to say and do, then you bet we ought to be doing the same thing. Don't be like Jonah, who instead of going to Nineveh, took a boat ride in the opposite direction. You'll just end up being swallowed up by a whale and doing what God wanted you to do in the first place anyways. Or worse, he'll get someone else to do it and you'll miss the blessing he had for you in that task. And that's something that none of us want to happen. Be like Jesus, who is willing to do whatever pleased the Father, even in giving his own life. Obey him the first time and not the 500th time. If he calls you to do something, chances are there's probably something there for you in that thing, whether it be growth, overcoming fear, or even an unexpected blessing. There are also times where God calls you to do something because you're the blessed answer to the other person's prayer. That is why submitting to God's leading in our lives is so important. Step number three, be present, approachable, engaged, interested. I know it's a long title, but anyway. It says in Luke 2:6-7, so it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered, and she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. So here we see a glimpse of Jesus being born into the earth. If we stop and think about it, again, Jesus is fully God and fully man. He could have chosen to live a life of luxury and be born into royalty. Or he could have been like the religious leaders who lived comfortably, but he also was able to teach the people scripture. Yet, what did Jesus do? It tells us in Philippians 2:7-8. But he made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. He humbled himself and put himself in a position that not only would cause him to relate to others, but also so that he would be approachable to all, like the shepherds in Luke 2:8-20. Time and time again, we see in scripture how Jesus never turns anyone away. He's always engaged in conversation with crowds of people, one-on-one or alone with God, ultimately being interested in other people's well-being, the salvation of their souls. He's also the very present help in trouble, as it says to us in Psalms 46:1. He's forever present and with us. Oh, shoot. I'm so sorry. Actually, I forgot to send a quick test message. I just got to send it quick. There we go. Sorry. Anyways, where was I? Oh, yeah. So Jesus was never one to be distracted, but he did what he was set out to do. And we should do the same thing, right? We need to do the same thing. Oh, my gosh. I'm so sorry. It's a really important phone call. So sorry. Hey, how's it going? Yeah, I'm not doing anything right now. Yeah, what's up? No. Wait, seriously? Chelsea got rid of Chad on The Bachelorette? How dare she? I liked Chad, man. Dang it. You know, I'm just preaching right now. It's no big deal. Wait, no, you want to call me back? No, really, like, please tell me. You still want to call me back? All right. You can call me back, but I want to know all the details about Chad. I want to know what happened to Chad, man. Okay, I'll talk to you later. Sounds good. All right, bye. Can I confess something right now? I've not seen The Bachelorette in a very long time. And that was also fake. Thank you, Joe. That one lesson with you really improved, you know? Improved my acting like crazy. So thank you for that. Yes, thank you, Joe. Woo! In all seriousness, though, how did it make you feel when I was on my phone just now? Did I seem present, approachable, engaged, or interested in what was going on around me? Reality is, cell phones can be a big distraction in today's world, and it's one that needs to be set aside when engaged in conversations as much as possible. That is one way to help seem more approachable to those around you and to keep you in the present moment. Keeping direct eye contact, not sitting far away or keeping your distance, being friendly and sociable with others. These may seem like little things, but they can make a great impact. Every little bit counts. Number 4, be the light. It says in John 12:46, "I have come as a light into the world, that whoever believes in me should not abide in darkness." And in John 8:12, it tells us, "Then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, 'I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life.'" And in Matthew 5:14-16, "You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand. And it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." So we can see in these scriptures that not only is Jesus the reflection of and is the light, but we are also called to be this light. So how can we be that light? What can we do to shine our light? Well, it mentions in Matthew 5:16 something about people seeing your good works. Feeding the 5,000, giving sight to the blind, healing people of diseases, washing people's feet. These are just some of the amazing things that Jesus did to shine his light and serve the community. Now, we're going to be real here. Let's be clear. In our own strength, we're not able to do amazing signs and wonders like Jesus did. So what is it that we can do? It tells us in Proverbs 25:21-22, "If your enemy is hungry, give him bread to eat. And if he is thirsty, give him water to drink. For so you will heap coals of fire on his head, and the Lord will reward you." And it also says in Matthew 25:35-40, "For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me." Then the righteous will answer him saying, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you a stranger and take you in, or naked and clothe you? Or when did we see you sick or in prison and come to you?" And the king will answer and say to them, "Assuredly I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me." And so when we shine our light and help someone in need, it's as if we're doing it for Jesus. So pay for someone's meal who can't afford it. Bless someone with your company who isn't doing well. Do the dishes for your loved ones and pay for a stranger's bus ride. These may seem like small and insignificant things, yet to the other person, these things can have the greatest influence, shining light in this dark world.